Hi, this is Max Cohn in Paris, and we are here with Frank London, who has a band. He's here in Paris for a festival of klezmer music. It's the seventh edition of Jazz and Klezmer of the Center Rachi, which takes place in Aubervilliers, a town near Paris. So Frank, how did you come to klezmer? You read a little Yiddish?
Yeah, I understand Yiddish, but I did not grow up with it, because by the time, you know, it's the classic story where my grandparents kept Yiddish as the secret language, and my parents didn't really understand it, and I didn't grow up with it, not even one word. But when I came to klezmer in my 20s, and I started playing the music and hearing all the Yiddish songs, I started to get interested in learning the songs and singing the songs. And now that I've been playing these songs and singing them for so many years, I started to gain an understanding of the language. So for me, it does not come from my family or growing up, but my Yiddish comes from singing songs and listening to songs. And I have to say that I understand Yiddish a lot better than I can speak it, so.
So, but the best Gebäude in New York, in the Eltern Wiesen, the Gebäude.
Yeah.
Where did your parents, do they come
New York.
From? New York also, and your grandparents?
New York.
Everybody from New York.
Yeah, well,
so who is from somewhere else?
My great-grandparents.
Where do they come
from? From Odessa, that's the hip part, and from Galicia, mostly. Galicia and Odessa.
So you have been playing for how long? How long did you...
Trumpet?
Yes.
A long time.
But why especially trumpet?
I don't know. I got stuck with it. When you've done something for a long time, it's hard to put it down.
So how? What could you say about your band? What are you doing now?
So what am I doing now? I play in a number of different bands. I guess the primary band I play in is a group called the Klezmatics. And we really, really hope to get to Australia. We were very close. We almost got to Australia. We played in New Caledonia, but we really hope to get there. And the Klezmatics are one of the preeminent groups in this Yiddish and klezmer music. And 2 years ago, we won a Grammy Award for one of our records, and that was the first time that any sort of Jewish group like us had ever won a Grammy. So we're doing good, and we hope to bring it there. But because I have a lot of interests, I do a lot of other things. I have other bands that are more experimental, more traditional, more funky, more, you know, they explore different aspects. I'm here in France with the Klezmer Brass All-Stars, which is basically an excuse to play klezmer music, which I love, with brass players who I love. So we just have, it's like a funky fanfara, and we've been doing this project kind of casually for about 6 or 7 years. And the fun thing for this is that we always get to encounter musicians from different cultures. So on our last CD, we worked with Brazilian musicians, and on the CD before that with Serbian gypsy musicians and an Egyptian brass band. Did you know they had brass bands in Egypt?
No, they do have.
They have brass bands in Egypt. I didn't know this. You know, and it's just fun, and now I'm working on kind of just to have some fun, sort of a hip-hop klezmer brass band record, and, you know, just following projects. I write musical theater pieces, and I'm very, very, very obsessed with chazonas, with traditional cantorial music.
Can you sing something?
No, I can play it on my trumpet.
No, we're going to listen to some music after.
Yeah.
But why do you like it?
Chazonas. Well, I'll tell you, but it's a little bit maybe technical. For the most part, klezmer and Yiddish songs is in a structure that we call song form, which means it has a certain number of measures, a certain number of beats that repeats over and over in very regular fashion. That's because it is primarily a dance music or a singing music. And, you know, maybe you sit at the tisch and wir singen's mirrors, you know. Yaribon me, oh my, or we were just rehearsing with the band and we were going, Sabenu, Vizenta. So we love these songs, but they all have this very driving rhythm. And then I heard Chazonas. And Chazonas has a very different structure musically. It doesn't have time. It's only about the emotions. When I grew up, Jewish music did not have a very good reputation. Really, I was only listening to rock and roll. Jewish music at that point was very kitschy Israeli songs and dances and old kind of shtick, a lot of shtick. And it, as a serious person, a serious musician, this didn't interest me. And I remember when I was in my 20s and I first heard traditional klezmer, I said, oh, this is totally different. This is serious. And I spent many years learning it. And I had the same encounter about 5 or 6, 10 years ago when I heard a cantor named Alter Carniel, Old Man Carniel, who recorded back in around 1910, 1915. And I heard him singing, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu. And I said, this, it put me in a different world. It was transcendent spiritually and mystically. And I've always felt as a trumpet player that the goal of playing trumpet is to sound like the voice. And my favorite trumpet players, whether it's Miles Davis or Bubba Miley or any of these people, they sound like they're singing. And I said, I can sing this kind of cantoral music in my trumpet because, as you just heard, I have a horrible voice. Is it the voice? Yes, it is. I mean, really, playing a trumpet is really like a way of singing. And what's also interesting for me about the Chazonas is that it's not only about the music, it's about the kavana, the spiritual intention. You focus on the text, you focus whether it's a song praising Hashem or if it's a song, well, from whatever text it is, and you're really trying to be the voice of the community speaking to God, speaking directly to God. So there's a heavy responsibility classically to be a chazan. And there's a great essay that I love that influences my life, written by Abraham Joshua Heschel. And it's called On the Task of the Cantor. And it's a beautiful essay, really telling people what the responsibility of the cantor is to represent the voice of Klal Yisrael in talking to Hashem.
And do you speak to Hashem when you play music?
Oh, I don't. I have no idea. I just try to get the notes in tune.
And people enjoy you playing your music?
Well, either that or they don't. You know, sometimes both. Sometimes they hate it. But I just try my best.
Do you think there is a connection between the past and the present in klezmer music because it's not really Yiddish language, but that there's a connection with emotions involved in Yiddish? What do you think about that?
Yes, I think, Max, actually you really have brought up a very strong point. There's a wonderful academic writer named Jeffrey Chandler.
Yes.
And he wrote, and he coined the term post-vernacular, saying that Yiddish exists in a post-vernacular state. And what you said about klezmer is exactly correct. Meaning, and what he means is this, Yiddish is very much alive. It's very much alive, even though very few people speak it. But it's not a dead language. It's a very living language. But it's post. It's after vernacular. It's after the time that it was actually the common spoken language. The only people for whom Yiddish is still the vernacular are certain small groups of Hasidim, which is very important, but in terms of numbers, this is very small. But yet, the way that the music and the culture that comes out of the Yiddish language informs music and theater and writing and comedy and artwork, it's a very living thing. I mean, I'm in a community that is not Hasidic, but that is fully engaged, and it's not even entirely Jewish. I mean, you know, and we do these whole projects that are entirely informed by Yiddish.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you, Max.